The Jewish life experience is one of faith, heritage, history, duty to country, and facing challenges. The films which my next guest produced and has been a part of brings these ideas to your minds and hearts via the experiences of five Israeli youths as they join the country's military, which is a requirement in Israel, facing a sense of duty and realities about themselves in a variety of ways. It's safe to say that most would find these stories insightful and maybe even reflective of the viewer's life. Unfortunately, the mere existence and attempts to show this film anger some who seek to trample the First Amendment in an effort to silence the message in this film. And just share the stories featured in the documentary Beneath the Helmet and the storms that the film and other Israeli foundations face from hatred in America as the film's producer, Wayne Copping. Good morning, Wayne.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And just for a point of reference, we are recording this a few days before you're hearing it right now, just because that's how the schedules fall, and don't ever call me uncooperative. BeneathTheHelmet.com. CTL, StepUpForIsrael.com. That's for Crossing the Line 2. And if you're on my Facebook page, I posted the link to that discouraging, yet on the other side of that story, empowering story. And for the film company that Wayne's a part of, JerusalemU.org. So give us the background story with Beneath the Helmet. As I said, in Israel, you hit the age of 18. It's time to step up and do your duty for the country. And what was the focus of Beneath the Helmet?
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly correct. All Israeli high school leavers are obliged to serve in the army. Israel is a very small country, and as you know, they're surrounded by very dangerous enemies. And so every single young person is needed in that effort to defend the country. And the film that we made, Beneath the Helmet, is basically a coming-of-age documentary about the personal lives of five Israeli soldiers. We don't get into the politics, and we don't get into the socio-political issues. We just look at these five young individuals who are becoming soldiers and what changes go through their lives. And what happened was, and that's, I guess, the reason why we're speaking, at UC Irvine, last week, a mob of about 50 protesters descended on the screening of our film, Beneath the Helmet. And they were yelling obscenities, and they were yelling violent epithets like Intifada, Intifada, long live the Intifada, which many, as your listeners know, is a war cry supporting the Palestinian murder of Jews in Israel. And as you can imagine, the people inside the screening were incredibly scared. They were incredibly nervous. It was an unpredictable situation. The protesters were banging on the doors trying to gain entry to the screening. And eventually the police had to be called in to usher the participants of the screening to safety. And this kind of thing, unfortunately, is becoming a new normal on college campuses. But this is really not normal at all, and it really has to be stopped.
I want to get back into those stories without giving the protesters any more just due, but I want to go back to Beneath the Helmet, because looking at the five youths that you spotlight, I mean, they range from a young woman who had contemplated doing whatever she could to avoid serving the mandatory service and wound up becoming a drill sergeant. You had an Ethiopian immigrant. You have, I don't know if you remember the TV show MTV Real World. it's almost a more meaningful, life structured version of Real World with the stories that are presented here. Of, you know, you can't get more real than what these five are facing, their own reality and in some ways their own mortality.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard it compared to the Real World before, but I guess the point that you're making is we look at real human beings. And I think the big difference between what we see in Beneath the Helmet with these young people who are entering the army in something like the Real World is these young individuals have made a commitment to do something that's bigger than them, to try to defend people that they may not even know, their neighbors and people that they don't even know. And the incredible self-sacrifice that goes along with that, where any one of them within the space of their service could, God forbid, be killed in a terror attack or in a war. So what happens is these young high school graduates have to grow up incredibly fast. And what we show in the film is that process of growing up and how they take responsibility and how they grow. And making the film, I mean, and myself and our team, we were incredibly inspired by these young people, and we still are to this day.
Certainly, when you look at certain aspects or certain percentage of American youth who wander through life all the way through their, well, you know, you can stay on your mommy and daddy's health insurance till you're 26 and live at home till you're 35 these days, versus the stories that are featured Beneath the Helmet, which you can view on your own as well. BeneathHelmet.com is the website. We're talking with the producer, Wayne Cobbing, here on Issues and Ideas. It does become a very inspirational story. And as far as screenings, I mean, we'll get back into what happened at UC Irvine, Wayne, but if a institution, a synagogue, a school, a university, or just maybe a private organization wants to rent a hall and bring this film in, how is that possible for someone to do?
Not only is it possible, but we greatly encourage that. And we have an entire system dedicated to help people to put on screenings that include a screening guide and a high-definition copy of the film, and also all the supplementary information that they need. But coming back to your point that you made about the difference between the Israeli soldiers and, let's say, the American student or the American kid who lives at home for a long time, what people don't really appreciate is that the Israeli kids don't have a choice. Israel, as you know, is such a tiny country surrounded by hundreds of millions of neighbors that literally want to see every last one of the Jews or Israelis swept into the sea. So the Israelis don't have a choice but to take a stand and to defend their own lives. And even though the average Israeli kid may love to also just live at home and or go traveling or go to university and party, they don't have that luxury. They get conscripted into the army and they join the Israeli Defense Force to defend their homes and their families. And so it's a very different kind of a culture. And what's interesting is it's not when you speak to these soldiers and when you listen to these soldiers, they do it with a sense of pride, with a sense of honor, and with a sense of purpose. And I think that makes all the difference.
Well, certainly. And as you said, the sheer numbers, Israel can't afford to have a depletion of military might. And for those who do serve willingly or mandatorily, whatever the inside tells them is happening to them, it certainly provides for them a much stronger foundation for the future of their lives and therefore and thereby the future of their country. And getting back to those protests, which we saw, and by the way, when you go to JerusalemU.org, or you can go to actually CTL.StepUpForIsrael.com and watch. It's about a half hour long, Crossing the Line 2. You see just how much hatred and anti-Semitism exists on American universities. When you have the event that took place, the protest that took place at UC Irvine, and you have UC Irvine Chancellor Howard Gilman step up and do a condemnation, is given how enabling certain members of the faculty are at UC Irvine and other campuses, does anything Howard Gilman say have any weight to it, or is it just, do you take it as lip service? Yeah, we know, bad professor, slap on the wrist, they're all better now.
Look, to UC Irvine's credit, they are taking action, and they are taking this incredibly seriously, and there is a precedent. You know, in 2010, that very same school, UC Irvine, actually suspended the Muslim Student Association for disrupting a talk by the Israeli ambassador, Michael Oren. So there is a precedent of the schools doing the right thing, and we are certain that the schools will do the right thing. But the bigger question for us is when we look at the groups that were protesting our film and others, and also these groups that are constantly harassing Jewish students and pro-Israel students, maybe who aren't even Jewish, groups like the Students for Justice in Palestine or the Muslim Student Association, we need to look at where these groups are coming from and how they are funded and how they are connected. And what we'll see is that this is just not a loosely grouped bunch of college kids who are letting off steam. There's something a lot more worrying about the agenda of these groups and the pedigree of these groups that these universities really need to take a deeper look at. And so protests like the one that we're speaking about should not be seen as isolated incidents, but really seen in the bigger picture. And then the question needs to be asked, are universities still safe places and still safe spaces, not only for Jewish kids, but also for non-Jewish kids? Because these kind of protests unnerve everybody. And so these schools need to take a very hard look at what's going on.
And when you look at the college professors who step up and say what they do, and the protests, which the protesters who are infiltrating student body government, student college senates, and if a Jewish student stands up to state their case in what is supposed to be a impartial, nonpartisan political body, for lack of a better phrase, that one side is the attempt is made to eliminate one side of the debate by overpowering, by shouting down, by, quite frankly, infantile and even aggressive behavior.
Yeah, and obviously we can't generalize with all of the university campuses, but on many campuses, I think the expression is the inmates are running the asylum. And I think that that is what's happening, where, as you point out, you have very hard left professors, you have a hard left student body, you have student bodies that have been infiltrated by groups like the Student for Justice in Palestine and others, where not only do they not allow dissenting voices, but they don't allow Jewish voices or pro-Israel voices, and those pro-Israel or Jewish students are even harassed into silence. What you start to see is a chilling of free speech. You see a lack of safety, and you see the university trying to do stupid things like divest from Israel and calling the country an apartheid state and so on and so forth, which really brings the entire school body, the entire school into disrepute. So, it's a big problem.
And I don't want to end this on, we do have to end the segment, but I don't want to end it on a total doom and gloom, because as you see, when you watch Crossing the Line 2, there are fortunately brave voices among our youths who are standing up against this hate and aggression and narrow-mindedness and even violence in some cases, or at least the threat of it, to stand tall for the truth and to stand tall for the support of the great country of Israel, as well as the stories that you get from beneath the helmet about five individuals whose lives can, at certainly that age of 18, go many different directions, and they're coming from a life of many different directions, but they come through with a story of inspiration, strength, dedication, and a great sense of duty. Beneath helmet.com is one website that you can go to and to watch Crossing the Line. CTL.stepupforisrael.com. Learn more about the work of the studio that produces these fantastic films, JerusalemU.org. And if you are an organization, just a private individual who wants the truth to come out and fantastic stories to be communicated about a culture and about a country and about its people, find out and work for as best as you can to bring Beneath the Helmet to a location near you here in New Jersey or wherever you're listening on the stream. Learn more at beneathhelmet.com for that. We've been joined by its producer, Wayne Copping. Wayne, thanks so much for the work that you do, how you honor those who are brave, those who are dedicated to country and to commitment and to the truth and to the facts. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.